Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, this past Sunday we remembered the words of Hosea, who reminds us that you desire us to be in a living relationship with you. Not one based on going through forms or doing things the correct way, but in living in faith that those things which we do may reflect the love that we have received from your hand and in which we respond to your grace. Today, Lord, help us to listen to the challenge that you would place in front of us. A challenge that says that as a people of faith, we need to trust in you for all things. And that as we trust in you, you will open the gates of heaven to pour out your blessings upon us, that we may continue to know your love, to grow in our faith, and to live as your people here in this place. Sustain us in your love and uphold us by your grace, for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, the prophet Hosea described God's desire for us as his people. As his people, he has called us. He wants us to belong to him, to live for him, to be in that ongoing relationship in terms of being close to him so that what we do and what we say will reflect what he has done for us. And so while Hosea reminds us of a life that is the dangers of life that is lived merely in going through the motions and patting ourselves on the back and saying, isn't this nice? Look at us. We're doing the things of faith. Today, the prophet Malachi challenges us instead to take that faith of which Hosea references and to place that faith, that trust, that confidence in him. That is, to truly be a people of the gospel who are concerned and who are close enough to our God to trust in him for what he gives to us, to rely upon him. That is a great challenge. And we read of people who respond to that challenge in our scripture lessons for this day. As we think about 1 Corinthians 17, as Elijah approaches the widow of Zarephath. She's out collecting sticks. Why? So she can take what little bit of flour she has left and what little bit of oil she has left and mix them together and bake a cake, perhaps bread, so that she and her son may have their last meal together and then die. And Elijah comes to her with what seems like an unbelievable promise. Go and do that, but before you do that, first make me a cake. And as long as you do that, your flour and your oil will never run out as long as the drought exists. Wow. Think about what she is being asked to do. And yet, she carries through. And in her trust in the Israelite God, she's not an Israelite. But through her knowledge of God and the people of God, she carries through and provides bread for Elijah throughout the time of the drought. The second lesson we're reading comes from the scripture lessons. It's Jesus in the temple. And he's watching people come in and put their offerings into the treasury. And how people marvel at those great sums of money. I'm reminded of what we were taught to do in fundraising programs. Now go out and get all the rich people in the parish to contribute first, so it looks like you really got a great program going, and then talk to everybody else. Great stewardship, don't you think? I'm sorry, I still have problems with that, even though I have done it once in a while. Here, Jesus commands not the wealthy, who are putting so much in, but a widow who puts in two small coins, about half a penny apiece. We're told that they equaled about a penny. And Jesus commends her because she puts in all that she had, and to be sure we understand this, Jesus says, all that she had to live on. The trust. Not being stupid, the trust that she had in God that he would provide. Whether it be the widow of Zarephath, who experiences that miracle of ongoing flour and food supplies, to the widow in the temple. That confidence that God would take care, that God was reliable. What a different picture we get from the people of Malachi's day. Malachi speaks to the people of God and proclaims that they are robbing him. Listen again to the words of our text from Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby, and here's the challenge, thereby put me to the test, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You see how beautifully that text fits in with the Old Testament lesson for the day? And the widow of Zarephath, who is provided for until there's no more need, until the drought is broken. And really, that's what Malachi is saying to us. Test God and see if he will not open the heavens for you and bless you until there is no more need. Notice he doesn't say you're going to get rich and wealthy. He doesn't say you're going to become overflowing with money. He says until there's no more need, whatever that need may be. As I was writing this, I remembered a book that I had read a number of years ago, and I pulled it out to look at a particular quotation. The book is entitled The Agony of Deceit, and is edited by Michael Horton. It's written by a variety of authors, and one of them speaks about the tendency of some of our modern television preachers to name it and claim it, so to speak, to say if you're living the faith right, you're going to be blessed with material blessings, and all you have to do is plant seed money. And I remember a particular paragraph that I've quoted before, and if you're familiar with Martin Luther and his lifestyle, they were selling, at the time of Luther, a man by the name of Tetzel was selling indulgences to receive the forgiveness of sins. And I love this quote. I've got it marked in the book. It reads, a further lack of obedience can be demonstrated by failing to... Now, this is the author writing about television preachers. The reason that came to my mind was because before the election this year, there was a preacher on TV who was advertising, if you plant the seed money, he'd send you some, I think it was a prayer cloth, and if you did that, you'd be blessed. And you were hearing all of these things from people about saying that, I seeded my money and I prayed for my husband and he got saved the next Sunday. Okay, so context is important. This writer says, a further lack of obedience can be demonstrated by failing to seed one's faith. This requires payment of a certain sum of money to a particular ministry. Those who are on the mailing list of the televangelists referred to in this book receive numerous testimonies along the ways of, I seeded $300, decreed my husband's salvation, and he got saved last Sunday. And then the line that I think is a classic we, as Lutherans, should always remember. The paragraph ends with these words, "Tetzel would have loved it." Yeah, he would have. Because that's exactly what the Catholic Church was saying at the time of the Reformation. Now, here, pay your way into heaven. Get saved by how much money you give. And Malachi is saying, no, test the Lord, trust in Him, place your faith in Him, rely upon Him, and He will bless you. Maybe not financially, but He will bless you in your needs. He will be there for you. And so Malachi challenges us in our relationship with the physical blessings that God bestows upon us. The things that we are so often tempted to simply take for granted. It's my toy. It's my house. I bought it. I paid for it. I'm earning the money for it. It doesn't belong to God. And so our attitudes towards property become an issue. And we forget that God is the creator, that God is the giver. And in Psalm 24, God says to us, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." Everything we have, everything we think we own, truly belongs to God. And we are to manage it. That's what stewardship is actually all about. The word means manager. We are to manage the blessings God has given to us for the glory of His name. We are to trust in Him. And beyond our attitude towards property, what Malachi does to us also challenges our attitude to God in the way we use our wealth reflects a willingness to trust in God. We think of the two illustrations, and by the way, I had, when I was working on the God's prophets and our commitment concept, I didn't go back to check these lessons out until this week when I was looking at them and saying, wow, Lord, thank you. He's at work. What a beautiful blend. Our attitude towards God should be that of the Macedonian Christians that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Where he says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord." That's what Malachi is challenging us to do. To give ourselves first to the Lord, to trust in Him, to test Him, to rely upon Him. Note that the Macedonian Christians begged for the privilege of sharing the blessings they have with God. And I'm using that term blessing because as Loyalty Sunday approaches next week, it's not just about money. It's about life. It's about loyalty. It's about living all of life as a people of God. And so finally, not only are we challenged in terms of our relationship to property, in relationship to God, but also in our attitude to others. One writer on this text says, "A nation that does not give to God reveals not only its spiritual temper, but also its social attitudes." Just think of the dollars that were spent in this last election cycle. And ask yourself, how much could we have done for the poor, for the needy, to help those who are struggling with health care issues, all the issues that we were told needed to be determined. Millions to buy votes. And I don't care which side of the aisle you're on that one. Wow. What's our attitude towards those around us? Are we concerned? Are we willing to reach out to them? Malachi addresses a community that is stingy at heart, and its failure to give to God in the temple became a blight on the nation's personality as a whole, one writer writes. But then he makes this comment, and I think it's very appropriate for us today. The church, through many generations, has recreated in its life the conditions of Malachi's time, making his message ever timely. The challenge of Malachi is to respond to the love of God, to trust in him in a way that glorifies God's name, not just here in the church, and not really just in our giving, but in our commitment to God and our trust in him for all things, and our willingness to use all things for his glory. That involves not only being here, but it also involves working in our community and as volunteers and whatever other way we may in order to bring Christ's presence into the lives of others. It involves being concerned about those who are in need so that as people who are of God, we carry his love in our words and deeds into the world. The challenge of Malachi, which deals with the tithe, can also be seen in the words of Moses. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord your God. As he is able, Moses says. Or as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, concerning the collection for the saints as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put up something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. You note that when God challenges his people, he doesn't say go beyond your means. He doesn't say forget what are your other blessings. If a father and mother still have responsibilities to their children to be nurtured and sustained, even as they have responsibilities to the church, we as people have a responsibility to the church, but God also places a responsibility to us and upon us in the community. So as God desires us to and makes us his own, he also now challenges us as a people to live out that faith in our lives as an opportunity to show forth what it means to be the people of God and to proclaim his love. Faith is much more than doing things the right way. It is much more than simply proclaiming the words that we believe. Faith begins in the heart, trusting in God, nurtured by the Holy Spirit, and doing those things where we use the skills, the talents, the abilities, the finances, the time that we have. Not 10%, but 100% for the glory of God. And you get that 100%. It's not part. I remember teaching a Bible class at a youth retreat on stewardship. And I made that statement that stewardship, the management of God's blessings, are not giving 10% to the Lord, but it's how we use 100% of the blessings he gives to us. And one of the young pastors came to me, by the way, he wasn't a lot younger than I was at the time. And he looked at me and said, 100%? You're be kidding. Can't happen. And I said, it can't not happen. Because that's the commitment God made to us. He gave himself that we might live and live eternally. And so today God invites us to the words of Malachi to put him to the test, to see if he will not provide for us. So when we talk about Loyalty Sunday, think about how do I reflect my confidence, my trust, my conviction that God will provide for me even as he has already granted me that gift of salvation. Remember a good friend of mine at the seminary, I was visiting with him one day and he had been facing some real financial troubles. He was married, he had a couple of children, and he was struggling. They didn't have money for a house payment. They were out of food. They didn't know what they were going to do. And he was sharing with me that he went to the mailbox on campus. Now the campus had a committee for student relations or student needs. I'm not sure what it was called. But when an LWML group or an LLL group or a church somewhere in the country had some extra funds to help students at the seminary out, they would contact this particular group at the administration. And they would give the name of a student on campus who might need some help. So here's a guy who has two children and a wife. They have no money for rent. They have no food on the table. He goes to his mailbox and he opens it up, and guess what? There's a check. Now, this is back, do I want to say it, in the mid-70s, early 70s. There's a check for $500. Provides his food, provides his rent, provides for his needs. Totally, completely out of the blue. I share that not because it was money, but because it shows that when we trust in God, sometimes out of the most out of the way places and unexpected places, suddenly God provides. We've been asked to pray for a homeless man. Let's pray that God provides for him in whatever way God chooses and can do so. May we remember that what Malachi does is challenges us to be faithful in what God gives to us. In all things, to put our faith into action. And as you prepare for Loyalty Sunday next Sunday, boy, I'm having a tough time today. As we prepare for Loyalty Sunday next Sunday, as you think about your loyalty to Christ, please pray about how you and what you do financially, materialistically, in your life, in your use of time, how you can better reflect the challenges that God has given you and your trust in Him to provide for all things. For that's what Malachi is promising. He will take care of you, as the widow of Zarephath so clearly illustrates for us today. May God bless you as you continue to live for Him and to bring glory to His name and serve Him here in this place. In His name, Amen.